Welcome to yet another episode of Fullstack HR. I am, as per usual, Johanna Sundlu, and you're listening to Fullstack HR, which is a podcast, but also a newsletter where we explore the future of HR. And today I'm joined by Merten, and I will let Merten introduce himself and also the company that he represents. And disclaimer here, it might not be the company that I say it is at start, but we'll take it when we get to the interview. So I say welcome to Merten from Rovio. Can you give us a quick introduction, a brief background of yourself, how you got into what you're doing right now?
I'm more than happy to do that. But before that, we have to correct the name of the company. Oh. It's not Rovio, but
no,
Rovio.
Sorry. It's my gaming instincts that takes over.
Absolutely. But look, it's a grammar slip that I'm very comfortable with because Rovio seems to be a great brand based on what I've heard about it.
Fantastic company.
Indeed. So yeah, I am one of two CEOs of Rovio. Rovio is a compensation analytics and benchmarking platform. It's a fairly new company. We were only created and launched last year. In fact, our product has only been in the wild for about 10 months now. And we're already the biggest real-time compensation benchmarking player for the tech industry in Europe. Quite an exciting journey so far. And my background is, in a nutshell, I'm originally from Germany, but I grew up in many different countries. And I've now been living in London for the past 10 years. And I always worked in the tech industry. I actually started on the investing side before then transitioning over to the operational side, which then ultimately led me to become a startup founder.
Cool. And what inspired you to create Rovio then? How did the idea came about?
So it's a bit of a longer story because I don't have a background in HR. So I'm going to have to start 7 years ago, 8 years ago, actually, when I first joined my previous job, which was Deliveroo. So Deliveroo is a brand that hopefully most people in Europe will be familiar with. For those who are not, it's a food delivery company, and probably in Sweden, Uber Eats, Foodora, or Wolt are probably better known than Deliveroo, but it's effectively the same business model. And I joined in 2015 when the company was very small. We had about 30, 40 people. And my initial job at Deliveroo was to build the international business. So everything outside of the UK, which was super exciting. We launched the business in 12 countries around the world. And as a generalist in that role, I was tasked with all sorts of random projects. And one of them was compensation. And the problem was that we had grown super fast. We basically went from almost zero to 1,200 employees in the span of just a year. And we did that with a very small people team. So as a result, there were a lot of things that weren't working as well as in a large company. And one of them was compensation. So at some point, we realized that people were very unhappy about the fact that they were potentially getting significantly less money than someone else in exactly the same role. So we realized, okay, we really have to do something about this and we have to do it fast. And it ended up landing on my plate. And that's how I first sunk my teeth into compensation benchmarking, which was an incredibly challenging project, significantly more challenging than what I had anticipated. It ended up taking me well over half a year to figure everything out, starting from where do you find actually semi-relevant benchmarking data, to how do you actually use this data, to then operationalizing the whole thing and making it land really well with the individuals that were doing these jobs. That was a very interesting project. As I said, super challenging and sadly also quite painful. And therefore, I think it was quite deeply etched into my memory as something that I hadn't seen a good solution for. And as a result, after I left Deliveroo and I took some time off, I did some research and then got a lot of validation from other companies that they had faced the same problem, which gave me all the confidence in the world together with my co-founders to launch Rovio. And I saw that you laughed, so I'm sure you can relate to the pain of having to figure out compensation.
I laughed, and that is 100% right. Like, it's a constant pain in all companies I've ever been working at. And I used to work as a consultant, so I've been in quite a few. And one of the most common questions we got as consultants was, can you help us with the compensation part? Because we're struggling so much in finding the right benchmark. Either we buy this sort of, wouldn't say bad data, but really old data, and that is structured in a way that makes no sense. Or we just ask our friends that works in other companies, and it's really been missing a product that is solving and cater for more modern use cases, if I might say that then. So yeah, I can relate 100%.
Did my pitch for me, thank you.
No, but it is truly a challenge. It still is to some extent. But obviously taking or bringing forward such a product, what challenges did you face in developing Ravio?
Many. So the first one is, and I think this is especially true for Europe as a whole, but some countries within Europe in particular, it's the fact that the way our product works, it has all sorts of privacy implications that companies really need to get comfortable around before they actually share their data. The reason is because Ravio links directly to the HR systems of our customers via an API, which allows us to see how the market moves in real time, which is, you know, really the innovation that we're bringing to the market. And it's very exciting because it gives more insights to our customers. But obviously, in order to get to that stage, you need to build up trust. And as a startup, that is an incredibly high hurdle to overcome. So we invested very heavily from day one, from day zero, actually, before we even shipped a single line of code. We invested in this whole security and privacy matter. So we hired a compliance lead really early on in the process to help us figure out everything we had to do from an operational perspective and a technical perspective and a legal perspective to really safeguard the data of our customers. We then built the product in such a way that it would conform with kind of the highest security standards globally to make it enterprise ready out of the box. And then we also spent quite a lot of time internally just refining our systems and training staff to make sure that we are indeed following all the guidelines that we've set up for ourselves. But yeah, I think from the outside, the biggest hurdle for us was just to build this initial trust. And the way we did that was we obviously leveraged our network to the fullest extent possible to get those first really well-known names on board. And then we used those brands in order to build further trust with companies that we weren't so close with. And I would say that's worked out quite well so far.
Nice. And can you share, we've been talking about Ravio and you briefly mentioned what the product does, like real-time compensation benchmark data, but can you elaborate a bit more? What is it that you do? Like, how does the product actually work?
Yes, more than happy to. And I think just calling Ravio a compensation benchmarking platform probably falls short of what we can already do today. So I actually think about Ravio more as a people insights platform. So what you can do today on Ravio is you can obviously access a very comprehensive set of real-time benchmarks for compensation data for 16 European countries. And you can slice the data by many different ways. You can look at it by headcount. You can look at it by funding stage. You can look at it by city. But then you can also go a step further and you can take a look at, okay, the diversity landscape look like for different slices of the data. So a lot of our customers are struggling with even benchmarking their own diversity stats internally and understanding, are they more or less in line with the market? Are they completely below or above? And Ravio really gives our customers those insights. You can also see how markets are evolving in real time, not just from a compensation perspective, but also from a people movement perspective. So we now show things like real-time hiring trends, where you can track hiring rates over a certain period of time. We show attrition rates, and we have a whole host of additional insights that are going to go live in the next couple of weeks, which make really Ravio a holistic insights platform. And then the direction we're moving is, obviously, insights is at the core of what we do, and it will always be at the core of what we do. But we also want to make those insights as actionable as possible. And I alluded to this when you asked me how I got into Ravio in the first place. One thing that I struggled with at Deliveroo was, how do I use this huge data set, which I bought from an old school provider, and actually make a decision? And that's exactly what we're trying to do now with Ravio. So one insight that we had shortly after launching is the fact that most of the day-to-day decisions, they don't happen within the benchmarking data set. They happen in salary bands or other tools. So salary bands is I would call it a cornerstone of our product, a very important tool that we are currently shipping in a closed beta, and we're about to release that into open beta. And the cool thing about our salary bands tool is, A, it makes it much easier than using an Excel sheet to manage a very complex set of salary bands. And B, it's connected to our live data set. So one of the most painful things about salary bands, in addition to setting them up, is to refresh them. So with Ravio, this can be as simple as one click to make sure that your bands are always in line with the market.
Everyone who's gone through the process of updating salary bands, I think, can acknowledge the painful process that making sure that you have the right codes and making sure that you match each job with the right job that you have and yeah, whatnot. It is really a cumbersome process.
Even small things like just showing where each employee stands in relation to their respective band, it seems really straightforward when you say it. But in practice, I was shocked by how many companies struggle with this, and not just small companies, also very large enterprises.
I worked with one of Sweden's largest enterprises, and they struggled tremendously with this as well. And it was a cumbersome, really cumbersome process, and it was done so, in all honesty. So I totally agree with that as well. But given how the market is moving right now, or the sort of the general trend and the general speak that is out there, is obviously inflation. Can you see anything in regards to that in your data? I know this is not the question that I sent you before, but can you talk to anything in regards to that?
Oh, I love your data set. Questions, so keep them coming.
Yeah,
absolutely. Look, I can see this pretty much in real time. Companies are responding to high levels of inflation across Europe by also increasing salaries at elevated levels. What we're seeing, though, is that the average has come down from last year. And we look at this in different ways. One is we track the promotion rate, and we track how much are people's salaries increasing when they get promoted. But more importantly, the metric that we mostly refer to in order to understand what is really happening in the market is salary changes for existing employees. So this would typically be called merit cycle increase, what companies mostly do on an annual basis. This number is currently hovering around the 5% mark, which is really high in historic terms. Usually it's 1-2%. And I don't foresee that coming down significantly anytime soon. If I look at the trend of the past 90 days, it's fairly stable for most countries. So I don't expect to see any shifts here.
It must be so interesting to sit on all of this data as well. I can just imagine getting your hands on this aggregated data pool that you have. You must have tremendous insights from that as well.
Yes, it's fascinating to see, but I think what's really important is to know how to use the data.
Yeah.
And that's really what we see as part of our core mission. It's not just to provide the data, it's really to become a holistic end-to-end solution for customers to handle all things compensation and potentially going a step beyond, because I think this is where the industry is headed. Companies want solutions. They don't want solution point. They don't want providers that only can fix a small part of a larger value chain.
No, and I think also, which you alluded to as well, the insights, the action part as well. Like, what do I do with the data? And I struggle with that as well. Time is scarce. And then if someone provides me with data, that is great. But I also need to then interpret that data and say, okay, what do I do with the data? How do I ultimately increase employee engagement? That's what we most likely always want. We want engaged employees that thrive at their work. And how do I then take this compensation data or whatever data it might be and translate that into concrete actions that increases the well-being and happiness of my employees? Solving that piece of the puzzle is crucial, I believe, at least.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
But do you have any case study or success story that you can share from a Ravio customer?
We have many. Off the top of my head, there's one that I can think of. I'm not sure if I can name the company, but it's a large public company. And it's an interesting one because they, I would say, use a very traditional, you can even call it old school way of benchmarking. They buy two data sets from large legacy players. You can imagine which ones those are. And at Ravio, we currently have a taxonomy that is a fraction of those legacy players, even though we cover the vast majority of important tech roles. There's still a long tail of roles that you wouldn't necessarily find within Ravio. So for us, with that particular company, it's hard to replace the legacy providers straight out of the box. But they still adopted Ravio for the simple reason that we provide the real-time element. So now what they're doing is using the legacy providers as a baseline, and then they're using Ravio to understand how to age the data or how to adjust the data to any market movements. And I've already heard informally that they're liking the core data so much that they think they might be able to replace at least one of those legacy providers entirely. And that's obviously quite exciting. But I think if I go back to why we started this company in the first place, it wasn't just to help businesses make better decisions. Ultimately, we as a founding team, and there's five of us, we felt pretty strongly about the implications that this has at the individual level. And I've seen firsthand at Deliveroo, but also other companies, how emotional compensation can be for people and how strongly they can react to perceived unfairness. And that is ultimately what tools like Ravio enable companies to do, which is to introduce more fairness into the whole compensation process and therefore not just pay people what they deserve, but also make sure that they don't have any imbalances internally so that people don't have any sort of anxiety over their compensation. And that's what gets me really excited about this product. It's the fact that it actually does, I think, add value at the end user level.
And I think that's a very important point as well. You talked about trust in the beginning, like setting a trust for the tool. And I imagine then that with HR people, we trust the tool. But it also, for us in HR at least, it's also about creating trust towards our employees that we have good, solid benchmark that is up to date, that is relevant, and that we pay fair, as you say as well. That there's a fairness component to that as well. And we can easily then also explain how this benchmark came about and where did we find the data, how's the data structured and whatnot. And I think the transparency part and the fairness part is super crucial as well.
I think it's almost more important than the absolute level of compensation. We're not telling companies, oh, you have to pay more, right? We're just telling them, this is what the market looks like. We show them distribution, but then it's up to them to decide how they want to position themselves. And I think there are many very legitimate reasons for why companies might not want to pay at the highest level of the market, not even the median. There are some companies that just can't afford to pay really high salaries, but they will have other perks. Maybe they have a very social-oriented product that has an incredibly strong impact that attracts a different kind of employee. Maybe they have very generous equity programs, so they just don't pay very high salaries. Fair enough. But I think the most important thing for companies is to ensure that every single salary decision internally is justified and is in line and coherent with what everyone else is making. And I think that ultimately is the secret to having this very robust compensation strategy.
Couldn't agree more. But from your point of view, if you look at this compensation landscape over the next few years, what trends do you think will shape the industry that you're working in?
I think one very important trend is at the top of the chain, we will see that R is going to become less siloed. And it's going to become much more strategic. And I think the biggest fusion will happen between HR and we're already seeing that today where finance is increasingly looking at, especially the data that HR teams are relying on. And they're looking at how is the headcount planning process set up? What sort of data sources are consulted? They want to know what the final numbers look like. They want to stay on top of things like how much are we actually spending for people once you factor in all the additional costs for the company. What does our hiring funnel look like? Is that in line with our approved headcount budget? How many stock options have we offered already to people that haven't joined us yet? There's so many questions that are at the intersection of HR and finance that I think will lead to ultimately the need for software that combines all of this and enables the different sets of stakeholders to work off of one single source of truth. And the other thing that we're seeing, and it's probably started about 3-4 years ago, is I would say, right, I think this doesn't necessarily mean that companies should disclose what they pay every individual internally, but I think what people really want to understand is the why behind certain decisions. Why are you paying below market? What led you to make that belief, to make that decision? Why are you comparing yourself against small companies instead of big companies when you decide your benchmarks? Why is the next level up paid 50% more? Isn't that too much? There's so many questions that people want answers to that most companies today don't feel comfortable answering because they would unmask a lack of a coherent structure.
And last questions. Are there any books or podcasts or resources that you go to stay updated on this overarching HR or compensation landscape?
I have to admit that I don't have one single source of information that I consult daily. I mostly rely on what I hear from our customers and from prospects. that for us as a company in general is the best source of information. And many parts of our organization have conversations every single day, starting with the founders, but obviously there are quite a few team members in different parts of our team that are super close to what's happening on the market. So that's the biggest and I would say highest quality source of data for us. But then personally, I'm a big fan of People Masterminds podcast. They also happen to be a fantastic partner of Ravio's. And in fact, in their latest episode, they speak with Noor van Boven, who also happens to be very close to Ravio and who has a lot of wisdom to share from lots of experience working in the people sector. So I highly recommend tuning into that podcast, and especially the latest episode is very worth it.
And if people want to stay in contact with you or reach out to you, where can they find you?
I would say if they're interested in Ravio, they can find it on ravio.com. We also have a live chat that is usually very responsive during business hours. I'm not a very public person, so I don't have a Twitter or X profile, whatever it's called now. But I'm on LinkedIn, so if people really want to connect with me, they can reach out there.
Cool. Thank you. And thank you so much for taking the time to be on the Full Stack HR podcast.
My pleasure. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.